And we will turn to the book of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 14. Excuse me, not 14. Let's go back to verse 7. Verse 14 is for later. Sorry about that. Verse 7. And we'll begin reading there. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let's read that again. I want you to follow it through. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And again, Father, we thank you for the Word of God. I pray you'd help us to understand it. Help me to be a blessing as I try to teach And Lord, we just pray you'd use the Word of God in our hearts. Let us see things clearly, and let us see your will clearly. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look at that passage of Scripture, it's often preached upon, and it's often verse 7 is grabbed out of its context, but actually used contextually, in the fact that we want to warn people against wrong behavior. All right? We warn people about the consequences of sin. We warn people about the consequences of carnality. And that's perfectly valid. Don't get me wrong. But it's not just for that purpose. He says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We focused on the God is not mocked part. And so we look at that as a negative. But there is a positive that's in the context of this. And it's very relevant to what we're going to be doing today. It's very relative to our missions program. It's relative to our daily lives. It's relative to all of that. And he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's pretty clear. You know, if you do any gardening or farming or anything like that, you understand. You don't plant potatoes and get rutabagas. Nope. You don't plant corn and get olives. You know, you don't plant green beans and get pinto beans. Doesn't work that way. You get what you plant. And so if we sow to the flesh, we have the flesh, we reap corruption, because the flesh is corrupt. The old nature. That which we were born with. And we see that every day because the redemption of our body is not yet done. And we see corruption all the time, don't we? We see sickness. We see disease. We see aches. We see pains. We see weakness. We see all of that. And then we see the consequences of sin and carnality, don't we? We see the ruination of godly testimonies, the ruination of lives, the shame, the guilt. and then the consequences. It's all corruption. And you know, we should have learned that lesson the day we got saved. Because the day we got saved was the first day we said yes to the Spirit of God working in our hearts. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, and God speaks to your heart today and points out to you and shows you that you are lost and you need to trust Jesus as your Savior, you have an opportunity today, a glorious opportunity to say yes to God, to repent. That means stop calling God a liar and acknowledge yourself as indeed being a sinner, needing a Savior, understanding you deserve God's judgment for your sin, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. In thy house. If you'll put your faith and trust in Christ as your Savior, you can be born again. And we learned that the first day we got saved. If you're saved today, there was a day where your heart was spoken to by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, and your sin was clear in your mind, and the fact that you deserve God's judgment was clear in your mind, and you saw that Christ died for your sins. And He bore your sins in His own body on the tree. And you put your faith and trust in Him and you called upon Him. And He saved your soul, didn't He?
Amen.
And then God's Spirit came to live inside your heart. And from that day, you have learned that there is a choice to be made. Because your soul and spirit are saved, but your body is not yet redeemed, because the redemption of our body is not complete. There's a choice to be made every day, isn't there? To yield ourselves to God's Spirit and the Word of God, or to yield ourselves to how I feel, the flesh, or what I think is best, leaning to our own understanding. What does the Bible tell us? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You know, we're told about that. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Good, not in the sense of we're good. Good in the sense of we have the righteousness of Christ through faith in Him. But that's how we grow as a Christian, by making that choice, by choosing. And He says this, He says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Obviously, that first time you trusted, you said yes to the Spirit of God as He worked in your heart, and you said yes to Him and you trusted Christ as your Savior, and then you got eternal life, right? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life, you gain that gift of eternal life. And then we began to study our Bibles and we began to learn that it's not just eternal life and it's not just the inheritance that we have in Christ, but we ourselves actually have the ability to lay up treasure in heaven and to gain a reward, don't we? And so if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. If you look into that from that picture, if you take and invest your life just on what's down here, and by the way, everything we do down here should have a heavenly purpose. A lot of things we will do the same way, but we will do them for a different reason. Not everything we did before we were saved was bad, necessarily. If you're a responsible man, right? And you took care of your family and worked hard. You took care of your household and all that type of stuff. You may have done that before the day you were saved as a matter of pride. But now it needs to be done to glorify God, doesn't it? And then you begin to change your household and your family, and you try to help them understand the truth of God's Word, and so that we're doing things on this earth. So there's a lot of things that we may keep doing, but we do for a different reason. There are things that we weren't doing that we will start doing, right? If we listen to the Spirit of God. There are things that we were doing that we need to stop doing. Because when we listen to the Spirit of God. That's what growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord does. But every time we do that, guess what we do? We reap an addition, if you will, to that life everlasting. That's why the Scripture tells us, I believe it's in 3 John, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that every man receive a full reward. Right? There's a reward. There's a judgment seat of Christ, and everything that remains that's not burned up by the fire of God's holiness, we'll receive a reward. And that's on top of the inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. See, the inheritance is Christ, which we get to share in. But the reward is what we get to build. And so everything we do is focused on, should be focused on, that reward in heaven, that which is going to be everlasting. Something to think about. Now there's the proper context. You have a choice. If you're lost, you don't have a choice. Everything you do is gone. And all you have to do, all you have to look forward to is the judgment of God. But if you are saved, if you are a child of God, you have a choice. You can take and order your life in such a way by saying yes to the Spirit of God, by saying yes to the Word of God, as you grow in understanding of the Word of God, and by stepping out by faith, in whatever the case may be, you and I, we have the opportunity to take everything we do down here and make it last forever. Life everlasting. Something that's going to last forever. And so, in verse 9, he says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season, you're going to reap. You know, it's an amazing thing that God blesses us down here on the earth. And I have learned, as a Christian, I have learned in giving and in doing different things that I'm supposed to do, in soul winning, in all these things, I have learned that God blesses down here. But the truth is, the blessings of God down here are temporary. God takes care of us. All right, God takes care of His children. God blesses good behavior. He does that. But not, you know, we're kind of spoiled in America. You know, you got some places where somebody gets food for a meal and they're happy and praising God, and if we don't have a full freezer, we think we're going to die. We're all afraid and worried. For some people, give us this day our daily bread really means something to them. But we're spoiled sometimes when it comes to that. We want now. We want to have everything now. And we want to have that. But he says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I have found that to be absolutely true in my life, that God takes care. When I need Him, He's there. And if I learn that lesson as relates to this life, how much more to the life to come? How much more to heaven? See, whatever God does for us down here, He does to teach us faith in what's to come, to show His faithfulness. to help us to see the work of God. I could spend a long time talking about things that God's done in my life, and you know, I've told many stories about the way God's blessed us, and we've had times where things happened and we didn't know how we were going to get by, and God provided. It's just amazing to see what God does sometimes. Now, I look at that and I say, wow, if God does that, what, imagine what heaven's going to be like. But he says this, he says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In other words, don't quit. Don't give up. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Don't stop. Don't back up. Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season you'll reap. And ultimately the due season is the day of our redemption, isn't it? The day of the completion of our redemption. That's the ultimate day. We look for that. Romans tells us that we that are in this tabernacle, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that what? That mortality might be swallowed up of life. That we might have, we're looking forward. We're like Abraham. We look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's the focus of everything that we do. So everything we do down here, God provides, and sometimes miraculously provides down here if we're faithful to Him and if we follow His will. He provides what we need. Whether it's food to eat or grace to hold up under trial and tribulation, or mercy to help in time of need. Whatever it is, God provides. And he tells us this over and over in the scripture, but that's just the temporary. We need to be focused on the permanent, on that which is in heaven. And in verse 10 he says this, he says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially they that are of the household of faith. Now, I think that's pretty plain. I don't think you really have to go in and try to interpret that very much. Just do good. Trust in the Lord and do good, and verily thou shalt be fed. Right? I don't think there's much interpretation that needs to be done there. I think it's pretty plain what God is telling us as we have opportunity. And one thing I will say to you, when it talks about, notice there, and I understand I've preached this before. Well, good morning. Well, amen. Good to see y'all. Glad you made it in. All right. But, you know, notice what it says there. It doesn't say when you have the time. It doesn't say when you have the means. It doesn't say that. It says, as we therefore have opportunity. When God provides us with the opportunity, we should do good to all men, and especially they that are of the household of faith. And you know, since our focus this morning is on missions, and I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to hearing about the burden that God's placed on Brother Looney's heart, and hearing about the field that God's called him to, and praying about what God wants us to do in this regard. But when it comes to missions, I think something we miss a lot of times when it comes to missions is this. Missions, to me, in my understanding, is the quintessential opportunity to do good, not just to all men, but to they that are of the household of faith. We have a brother in the Lord here who's answered the call that God's placed on his life, and he's here asking us to partner with him in the work that God's called him to do. And so it's an opportunity today. You know, we told you about the love offering, right? We've been talking about, hey, take time for a love offering and ask you to pray about it and pray about what God would have you to do. And hopefully you've done that. And so if whatever you've decided to do as far as the love offering, we'll praise the Lord for that. And we will take that and we'll give, and that'll be a help and a blessing to them. So there's an opportunity, right? So you've been made aware of an opportunity, and so there's an opportunity. And then we're going to talk about the opportunity of supporting him on a regular basis. We have the opportunity to pray. We have the opportunity to help him on his way today, to maybe help him get to the field. We have an opportunity to pray for him, that God will provide for him, protect him. We've talked about, you know, Mrs. Looney with the issues with the pregnancy, and we've had answered prayer there, and we've seen that the issues we've already seen fruit from this opportunity. Amen. And you know, it says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. What greater good could we do to the people of Indonesia, or the people of Colorado, or the people of New York City, or the people of Utah, or the people of Nigeria, or the people of Zambia, or India, or any other, Spain, and any other places, Mexico City, the Yucatan Peninsula, any place where we're supporting missions. What greater good could we do to all men than to give them the gospel?
Amen.
Think about that. Now, that certainly is not the limit of what we can do or should do. Sometimes we need to help feed folks. Sometimes we need to help folks when a trouble comes. We live on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. We know what it's like to have a hurricane, don't we? We know what it's like to have church buildings damaged and homes damaged and people having to stand in line to get food and water and things like that. We know what that's like. We understand that. So we understand that, and these opportunities will come. And we'll do other things. We'll try to help people as we can. But the pinnacle of doing good to people is telling them of the Savior. That is the pinnacle of doing good. Saw something on TV, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, and they wanted money to send boxes of food over to Jews in Europe and everything that are suffering and everything, and Holocaust survivors. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I wonder, are they going to get the gospel? We have a large segment of professing Christianity that doesn't believe they need to reach the Jewish people with the gospel. That's not good. But in it, think about it. If we're supposed to do good to all men, and especially they that are of the household of faith, missions is a double whammy, isn't it? Evangelism is a double whammy. We not only help our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we help a lost and dying world. That doesn't mean we neglect all the other stuff. I'm not saying that. Doesn't mean we don't try to help poor people out. Doesn't mean we don't try to help folks that are falling into hard times if we're able to do that. Doesn't mean that as a church or individually. Doesn't make any difference. But missions, when we talk about doing something, doing good unto all men, and especially that of the household of faith, two birds with one stone. And so today, we have an opportunity, don't we? We just got to figure out what God's will is on how what we're supposed to do in this regard, and we'll do that. Yeah. But we have an opportunity. And today we have an opportunity to get him on his way and get him. He'll be going to driving to Montgomery this afternoon to go for another meeting. And so, you know, we can help him on his way, pray for him to get there safely. And so when we get to the regular part of the service, the main part, main service today, and when Brother Looney gets up to present the work, I just want you to see an opportunity. God's placed an opportunity before us. And what an opportunity. Just something to think about. Wouldn't life be different if we just looked at everything that came along and said, man, there's an opportunity. You know, Jesus told us we're to what? Bless those that curse us. Pray for those that despitefully use us. Do good unto those that do evil to us, right? Isn't that what he said? He said, so he's telling us that even in your worst situation, there's an opportunity to do good, isn't it? So I can have people cuss me and everything else, and I can pray for them, and I don't have to answer in kind. And when the time comes and they need help, I can be the one to hold out my hand to help and all that type of stuff. And there's multitudes of opportunities. But I'll tell you what, there is no opportunity that gives us the, for lack of a better word, the most bang for our buck than supporting missions. Because you're not just doing good to a brother in the Lord, but you're reaching, you're facilitating the reaching of the lost. You're doing good to people that you'll never see this side of heaven. But you're still doing good. And you know, we always talk about the church's Great Commission, right? We talk about the church's, the Great Commission, we talk about that. And go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, right? We're told about that, and we talk about it as a commission. And I'm afraid that we forget to see it as an opportunity. Think about that today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close the Sunday school hour. Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to look and see the opportunities that you placed before us. Lord, as we learn to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, to say yes, Lord, we just pray that you would help us to see the opportunity before us. Help us to see that we can indeed not just have your blessing here, but lay up treasure, something to be enjoyed for all eternity. And Lord, that the true riches, not these things which pass away so easily. And Lord, we just ask that you'd help us to make the right decisions when it comes to our missions program. But above all, Father, I pray you'd help us to see it as the opportunity that it is. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.